Welcome to the finish line on 101.3 The Buzz, Jamie Kyle. We don't have Jason Hildebrand here. I bet he's stuck in that monstrosity of a traffic jam. Coming up White Oak Mountain, Arnold Tarpley. And, of course, spinning the great tunes, Scotty Webb hanging out. Hey, very exciting. Very, very, very exciting. This is, and not exciting that it's her next to last show, but exciting that we've got the finals this week. Everything that we seem to have been waiting on and talking about up to this point, as far as the chase goes, it's now go time. So I'm excited about it.
I mean, well, I'm happy you're excited about it. That's, you being happy makes me being happy.
Which makes happy. Everybody
happy. It should make everybody happy.
Arnold Tarpley, right. You're happy about it.
I'm ecstatic about it.
He took it to a whole new level with ecstatic, which kind of changed it some, but...
The verbiage.
Yeah, the end of that race, it just, wow.
It is wow.
Listen, I don't... We all watch a lot of sports, and the format is I guess, is exciting. I don't know how you can't... You could be a casual race fan and enjoy that race. Not because it's the racetrack or it's a great race, although it was a good race. Just with everything that's on the line and the, you know, and you got to be a math major there at certain points of the race. But it was just, it was just exciting. And then the way it ended up, you know, everything kind of, you know, the way it, you know, with Kenseth wrecking and how ironic is Kenseth wrecking and Joey Logano getting, the pass, it didn't even look like he was in the lead, but they went back to the scoring loop and Logano was in the lead, which ultimately led to him getting in the race. But what a terrific, it was great theater. I just thought it was absolutely great theater on Sunday.
It was great theater, and it's something, you know, that you think about. Phoenix in the past has not been too much drama going on. I mean, if you think last year, Ryan Newman made the pass there. At the end, kind of moved Kyle Larson out of the way to get in. But, you know, this year it had a little special something, and I think because you had so many drivers in the top eight that were so close together in points and really two out that had to win, but the rest of them, you know, could get in on points and they were all fighting for it.
They was going at it, and, you know, you really didn't know who was going to sneak in there and win at the end. And then you had a non-chase driver, somebody you really didn't think that much about, actually dominating the race.
Yeah, that's a, you know, and that's one I had a back and forth with someone on Twitter.
What's new?
About, you know, about that. And I think that's one of the things that makes it great, because you've got two sides to the story going on there on Sunday. You've got guys trying to compete to win a championship and put themselves in position to be there this weekend in Homestead, and then you've got the flip side of that is you got guys out there trying to win a race.
Yeah.
And Alex Bowman proved again this again and again over the stretch of runs he's had driving the 88 is he's a very capable driver, and you put him in great equipment, he can be spectacular, and he was really spectacular for most of that race.
You know, he led 194 to 324 laps. You know, and I was watching the end of the race there, and I was going, I was rooting for him. I said, come on, man, win this race.
Well, and to be honest with you, I mean, listen, if all things stay equal and everybody, when they come in the pits there that last time, you know, if everybody changed four, I think he gets out and he wins the thing. I think the two car.
Oh, there's no doubt. If everybody's on the same tires, he had the best car. I mean, but we say that every week. How many times do we sit? We come in here on Wednesdays, and the best car is not the winner of the race. You know, I can think of a number of times this year that's happened. It's not happened to a Hendrick car very often this year,
right?
Yeah. But it happened this time around in this race, and. I don't know what rides are available out there for him, but he's definitely probably put his name in the conversation for somebody looking for a ride, because he shows that, you know, a talented young kid who, with the right equipment and put himself in the right position, can make good choices out there on the track and run up front. And he ran up front all day long, and he was, you know, without a doubt, the best car on Sunday.
Well, something we'll talk about next week is on Jayski, and you can actually go look at it now, but it's got potential rides and potential sponsors and movers for next year as far as the drivers go. And if you look through that list, you see Alex Bowman on a couple of those lists. And who knows if he's going to go there. You got to think that
Rick Hendrick's not going to let a talent like that get too far away from him, just in case Casey Kasem.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to go back to 1986
for this beauty.
Boy, that was in my heyday. Casey Kasem was the man.
Yeah, you're a NASCAR historian, Arnold. Yeah. You got to think he's probably going to keep him in a Hendrick affiliated.
But where's that spot? It'd be interesting to see, and we'll get into that more next week as we start looking. I guess the silly season really has already started. But we'll talk about, we'll kind of give our thoughts on 2017. But I just wonder what's out there for him, because there's a lot of quality drivers in there right now, and there's just not a lot of spots. So when they constricted the teams to making them only have four cars. Now, granted, they have offshoots and branches of all that, but Hendrick was affiliated with Stuart Haas. That's gone after next year, so you can't really. They have other affiliations, but it'll be interesting to see. That's going to be one of the big stories, I think, in from here into the beginning of the year in 2017.
And several of those drivers, with Hendrick Motorsports, Casey Kane, I think, goes through 2017, the end of 2017, maybe 18, but his sponsorship's only through 17. You've got some decisions to make there. So it should be interesting. I think Justin Allgaier, I believe, drove the 51 Brent car at one point in time that I think was a Hendrick-affiliated car. You may see a one-car offshoot coming off of that or whatever just to get that kid a ride.
Well, it wouldn't be – listen, I think part of his success is Hendrick has found something over the course of the last 8-9 weeks. Jimmy Johnson's won what, 3 times in the chase? So they didn't all of a sudden, we've talked about Jimmy Johnson a lot over the last couple of years doing this show. Some of those wins he kind of backdoored into, 5-lap, 6-lap wins. But this team is, the whole organization has been a lot stronger. You've seen, even this past week, you saw at one point they had, all four of their cars were in the top 8. They've found something. They've hit on something, and what a time, especially for Jimmy Johnson, for that organization to kind of pick things up and start heading in the right direction. It's not just the Toyotas. It's not, I don't know that either one of the Toyota drivers, I don't know that they're a clear-cut favorite heading into this weekend. So it's really anybody game. We got all three manufacturers in the chase in the final at Homestead. So it should be interesting to see how all that works out and plays out this weekend.
What was definitely interesting was the last few laps of the race on Sunday. Part of me has to feel bad, Arnold, for Matt Kenseth. This guy is the model of consistency when you think about NASCAR and stuff like that. Last year he gets taken out on what you could say was a bump by Joey Logano trying to move him out of the way. He gets his payback. This year he's well on his way. Probably one of the faster cars along with Bowman, and then gets taken out, and we can argue his spotter's fault or maybe Kyle Busch of kind of push somebody into it.
I've said a lot. I'll let you go first.
Well, Matt Kenseth did everything right. The team did everything right. They soldiered their way through the day. They got themselves in position to win. He had the lead he needed to win with till the yellow flag come out and put him out in a restart situation. And, my first thought was, good night, Kyle. Wake up and think about what's going on right there. But we've seen Kyle Busch do this time after time after time. And if you listen to the in-car communications, what all took place, and watch the film where Matt Kenseth come down when he did, as like Kyle Petty and Dale Jarrett, some of them was talking about after the race, nobody did anything wrong. But doing everything right turned into a big mess for Matt Kenseth.
Well, I think Junior summed it up best for me. If you saw his reaction on Twitter, he retweeted the spotter for the 20 car. The spotter took full responsibility for making the call. And Junior basically said, look, there's a lot of different players going on there. You got Kyle Busch pushing Bowman. He's trying to get a spot because at that point he wasn't in the chase because of the point situation and where he stood in the race, so he's got to try to find a way to get a position. You got Bowman going for his first win. He's going to hug the bottom. He had nowhere to go. He was up against the wall. Then you have Kenseth's spotter say, you're clear, you can come down. Well, ultimately, that responsibility still falls on the driver. You know, he still has to know what's going on around him. So I just think there was a lot of variables, and it just unfortunate that it took one of the better drivers out. And I think that's part of what made this last championship run so terrific. You lose a Denny Hamlin. You lose a Matt Kenseth. You lose a Kevin Harvick, who doesn't win at a track that he's absolutely dominated. And they struggled really all week. Yeah. Now, they ended up having a great finish from where that car was. But you're talking about three of the biggest names in the sport, and they're not going to be around for the final race. So it was just ultra competitive right down to the bitter end. It was just too many things and trying to squeeze into that ultra tight turn one there at Phoenix, and it just led to, unfortunately, Matt Kenseth wrecking and his championship hopes are over.
And the crazy thing is as we got on closer to the finish, this is how this kind of chase breeds this kind of stuff that happened. So you had Kyle Busch, who passed Joey Logano. You had Joey Logano behind him. Kevin Harvick was coming strong. It's amazing to me, and I could kind of see him doing it, but I didn't know he was really doing it until he said he was doing it. But he was backing up, slowing down to try to get Joey Logano to slow down so Harvick can pass him, because that would break a tie before Kenseth wrecked. Yeah. So it was one of those things where all the strategy was going on, even let me slow down so I can try to block this car to give Harvick a chance to get there. That's what kind of racing and action this chase breeds.
First of all, I've learned after 3 years now of watching this race and how it unfolds, you got to bring a calculator because they're constantly, you know, the points where they stand and all that, and you got to figure out how many people do you got to pass, or they got to get passed by and all that sort of stuff. So you're constantly watching it, even if the race is a little boring. And there were stretches in this one where Bowman was just clearly the best car, but you know, even during that time, you're constantly looking through the field, especially with Bowman leading, because it for the first time in this format we've had a chase winner or a chase driver win every single round.
Right.
So a win gets you automatically in. So it was different in that regard, because if Bowman does hang on to win, then you're going back to points, and then you got to start calculating who finished where and all that sort of stuff. So with Logano winning, he automatically qualified. Then you get into just the points on the remaining guys. So that was different. It was just – I was intrigued by how the race played out. We knew that Kevin Harvick had a great history at this track. He struggled. But then you get to 20 laps to go, and you turn around, and here comes the four car. Right. They were garbage all weekend long, running in the middle of the pack. And then with 10, 15, 20 laps to go, all of a sudden, here's Harvick. Hamlin's up front. It just seemed like the cream. And we've seen this the last couple of years when they went to this format where the winner – win advances, and then even next week at the next race at Homestead, we've had winners win races to win championships. It's amazing how the cream rises to the top, and it was awesome to see those guys really battle it out last week in Phoenix. There was some great football games on. The NFL was terrific this weekend, but you couldn't pull away because it was just too good what was going on.
You know, one of the things I found real interesting is in the discussion was the fact is Alex Bowman passing cars and putting himself into second position going to help who?
Right.
You know, it was crazy all the stuff that could happen that they're trying to figure out what – if this happened, who did it help? Who did it hurt? It was a wild weekend, and then you come up on that last restart, and that was just insane.
Insanely entertaining. That's what I liked about
it.
So it was very good. All right. So Joey Logano does get the win. Guys, we could call him clutch. I mean, he kind of done the opposite of what he did the last year. Last year, he won a bunch up front and then struggled to get in there at the end. But this year,
it didn't help that he got wrecked at Martinsville.
Well. He didn't get wrecked. He got took
out. So that may have been a factor in him not being around. But I don't know. That's my quote-unquote expert analysis.
He really had to do a lot of work. I mean, if you think about what I described earlier, being behind Kyle Busch, having to hold Kevin Harvick off, thinking that was going to be his way into the chase, and then all of a sudden you have the wreck happen with Kenseth, and then there he is, and he takes it. So really impressed. And with Brad Keselowski, if I had to choose between the two on who would be in there, I would think it would be the two-car previous champion experience. But to have Joey in there, it's going to be kind of unique. He runs well at Miami.
He does run well at Miami, and I like it too, because now you do have all three manufacturers are there, so they've all got representation. It's going to be interesting to see. You know, you've got the experience of Jimmy Johnson, you know, the 6-time winner. Somebody's already crowned him 7-time winner. We'll get to that later. You got Carl Edwards, and I don't know if you guys saw the NASCAR throwback on Monday night where Tony Stewart was live tweeting the 2011 race where between him and Carl Edwards. So does Carl Edwards get some redemption and find a way to win at Miami this time and put himself and crown himself as a first time champion? You got Kyle Busch, who is the defending champion and has not been all that impressive, but he's been very consistent during this chase. And then you've got, you know, Logano, the guy that everybody thought was going to be the favorite last year, the way he was winning races, especially in that second segment, and then he ends up not even making it to the final. So a lot of intrigue, a lot of drama, and Logano's definitely got the skills. He's been around. It just seems like he's 26 years old, but he's been around for so long now. He's
got enough. He's 14.
Yeah, he's got enough experience where that team puts him in the right position. He's definitely going to be a factor at the end.
All right, let's hear from Joey Logano on his win at Phoenix.
Rick, Joey Logano did it at Talladega to advance to this round. He does it at Phoenix today. To the championship four. That is genuine emotion. And he told me earlier today, I love this kind of pressure. Are you kidding me? I was made for moments like this. But I want to know the emotions going through your head before that final restart, Joey, of that final run. You were tied with Kyle Busch. You did have the tiebreaker. What was going through your head, and how much math were you doing?
A lot. Man, this feels so good. I never felt this good about a win before. So much on the line, and everyone brings their A game when it comes to winning championships, and his team did it. So, man, it feels so good. I had a good restart there at the end, and holding off Kyle to try to get this thing into Miami. So we're racing for a championship now. We did exactly what we had to do. We got to go to Homestead and do the same thing. So could be more proud of this team. Garage Sheets Engines bringing the heat again. Ford, AutoZone, Auto Trader, Coca-Cola, Wheels Up, SKF, everybody that helps us out. AutoZone and Auto Trader. I'm speechless right now. I feel like I just won the Daytona 500 again.
You heard him say, I've never felt more emotional about a win in my entire life. Todd Gordon with a big hug. Huge win for this 22 team. They'll race for a championship in Miami, Rick.
A really excited big time win for him. When he said it's like the Daytona 500, it's one of those things that's a big win definitely for Joey Logano. That's good. All right, good. All right. So,
great observation.
Yes, it is. We've got Alex Hayden coming up at 5:30. So we'll go on before. I mean, because we can just do that. So we'll just go through
whatever you. Hey, listen, it's your show. It's whatever you want to do, buddy.
All right. So what I need for you to do, Scott Webb, I'm going to pre-warn you for this, as we have other championships going on this weekend.
Well, and thanks for sending us such an elaborate show rundown today. So you're absolutely right. It is Ford Championship weekend at Homestead Miami Speedway. Three big races starting Friday night on FS1 and MRN, beginning at 8:00. The Camping World Truck Series.
Truck Series.
Yep. With the Ford EcoBoost 200, Johnny Sauter, Matt Crafton, Christopher Bell, and Timothy Peters. I guess the big news there is that William Byron, probably the best, most consistent driver in the Truck Series this year, wrecks, leading late in the race last week, and ends up not making it to the finals there. On Saturday, we got the Xfinity Series Championship, Ford EcoBoost 300, Daniel Suarez, Elliott Sadler, Justin Allgaier, and Eric Jones. That's 3 p.m. on NBC Sports Network,
yep,
and MRN, and then obviously on Sunday at 2:30, the Ford EcoBoost 400 for all the marbles in the Sprint Cup. 2:30, that's on NBC this week, and right here on MRN on Talk 101.3 The Buzz.
So, crazy weekend, and of course, the Final Four is set. If we hadn't said that already, you've got Jimmy Johnson, Carl Edwards, Joey Logano, and Kyle Busch that will be running for the championship. And as Scott said, Arnold, you know, you've got the last, I guess, 2 years. The winner of the championship has won the race and the championship. I keep waiting for that time when there's a big wreck and all four of them are in a wreck and everybody's trying to fix the car so fast to get them back out there and run laps.
Well, you know, Jimmy Johnson got some practice at that this last week. So they're ready to go on that. It is going to be interesting. And you're right. The winner of the race has been the championship, although I'm kind of interested to see if somebody else can come through and win and have a double winner.
We call that a teaser in the in the business. Yeah, it's you know, that's I guess that's one of the things. You know, this is the first time since they went to this elimination format that a non-chase driver has not won a race, or even an eliminated driver. I think Junior, he won at Martinsville a couple years ago. Then he won last year at Phoenix too. Yeah. I think there was somebody else in there as well. So even eliminated drivers who have not won this year. So it's going to be interesting to see if that trend continues. That's going to be, you know, I think it's great when your champion wins a race. It feels like it kind of validates what happens. It's going to be interesting to see what happens because there's some guys that run very well at Homestead that are out there for trophies. But you know, there's a bigger trophy at stake. So be interesting to see how all that plays out. Not to mention that it's Tony Stewart's final race.
Yeah, it is Tony Stewart's final race.
It's also the last race for Sprint as the primary sponsor.
Haven't even talked much about that. We will do that when we come back, though, because we'll talk to Alex Hayden about all those things. Rumor has it, multiple sources have told me about Alex Hayden, that he is on a beach somewhere in South Florida.
I saw some live tweeting today. It didn't make me happy whatsoever.
I sat there going, darn, what a life.
I know. He does have the life. So we'll talk to him when we come back. You're listening to The Finish Line on 101.3
The Buzz.
Y'all step back to 1864 and relive the South's finest hour. Witness a moving performance and dig into the greatest Southern recipes direct from the Confederate White House. Loads of fun, food, and unfiltered Southern history. The Button Willow Civil War Dinner Theater is just minutes from Chattanooga. Y'all got a call for reservations, 658-7478. We're straightening out Yankees one at a time.
Hey folks, Dale from Dale's Heating Air. We all know things work better when they are maintained and serviced on a regular basis. Your car, your yard, even relationships. Well, your heating and air system is no different. When is the last time your heating and air conditioning was serviced? Can't remember? Well, spring is just around the corner and warm weather will be here soon. What's that mean for your heating and air conditioning system? It means it's time to call Dale's Heating and Air to make sure old man winter didn't take its toll and your air conditioning is ready to keep your family cool and comfortable this season. When your heating and air conditioning is working at its best, you get the comfort you want, save money, and your system will last longer. Now is the best time to call Dale's Heating and Air to schedule maintenance on your heating and air conditioning system. For service you can trust, just call Dale's. 236-4600. That's 236-4600 or online at justcalldales.com.
Mike Rowe on the student organization known as Skills USA.
Well, everybody talks about high unemployment. It seems to me that the real problem is the skills gap. There are opportunities available, millions of them. Skills USA is on the front line. They're encouraging soft skills, specific skills. They're the connective tissue in between the opportunities that exist and the hopes that a lot of parents and kids have for their own future.
Learn more at microworks.com and skillsusa.org.
Skills USA, champions at work.
Listen to NASCAR from MRN on Talk 101.3 The Buzz for your chance to win the ultimate 2017 Daytona 500 experience. The grand prize includes four tickets to the Camping World Truck Series, tickets to the Xfinity Series race, and the Daytona 500, plus admission to the Fan Zone, access to the garage, and Gatorade Victory Lane. That's not all. Winners will get a pace car ride around Daytona's 31 degrees of high banking, lunch with the MRN crew, and you'll stay in a fully stocked RV. We'll also throw in $1,200 for travel expenses. Here's how it works. Listen to the Ford EcoBoost 400 at Homestead Miami Speedway for the driver in the lead on lap 225. Then go to MyMix1041.com and enter the driver's name on the registration link. Can't wait to win? For tickets to the Daytona 500, call 1-800-PIT-STOP or visit Daytona500.com. Win the ultimate Daytona 500 experience from the Motor Racing Network, Daytona International Speedway, Mix 1041, Talk 1103 The Buzz, and The Finish Line. Must be 21 to enter.
Welcome back to The Finish Line on 101.3 The Buzz. Jamie Kyle, Arnold Tarpley, Scott Webb. Listen, and what happens when you go down to Florida when you're Alex Hayden, you get up doing something in Florida? He pushed us back about 5:45, which is completely okay.
There's a better than average chance that he's going to get major ridicule.
Right.
I mean, what are you doing? He's got a pina colada in his hand. He's sitting on the beach.
Yep.
He's not working.
I mean, it really showing a little too much in pictures for me with the chest hair, explosion. I was really not wanting to see that. I'm thinking headshots okay with him. You get below the neck.
Yeah.
Don't put that on Facebook or Twitter.
There could be some ridicule.
There will be. All right, so we'll talk to him at 5:45. All right, so let's talk about something real quick because this has been, and I want to discuss this with Alex too, and but Tony Stewart, and I guess this is just Tony Stewart because it's not like he's ever really wanted a lot of fanfare or anything like that or anybody really making a big deal. I mean, you remember when Mark Martin retired for the third time, they gave him rocking chairs and everything else at every track he went to. That hasn't really happened with Tony Stewart, and granted, he was out for a part of the year, but it seems like it's just quietly gone by, and we're realizing that this is Tony Stewart's last race coming up.
Yeah, probably the most ostensible thing that they've done
what
is that commercial.
Where was that?
Whoa, good Lord.
Where did that come from?
Where's that? You got a thesaurus over there with you today?
Yeah. I got to upgrade us a little bit here.
Oh, might as well break it out now. 2 weeks ago,
it wouldn't take much to upgrade us.
But the Coca-Cola commercial where he tells everybody, "You knuckleheads, I haven't retired yet." That's probably the most reference that he's made to the retirement the entire year, as far as publicly concerned.
Yeah, I mean, I read an article on him, Scott, today. It was really about everything that he's involved in. He's got 5 or 6 dirt tracks that Kenny Schrader and Kenny Wallace are partners with him on, plus builds cars, owns, a NASCAR team and stuff like that. I think he's just ready to move on from the spotlight of being behind the car because he has to, and to do more fun things with the dirt racing and stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't think that. I don't know that. I think he loves driving. I don't know how much he loves being a NASCAR driver.
Exactly.
Especially the last few years. I think he's... He wants to be in a situation where he can do what he wants. And being a NASCAR driver, there's responsibilities you have to have. I think this will just give him some freedom to kind of do the things that he wants to do and be involved in. Obviously, he's going to be at the track. He's going to be heavily involved in the team. But if he wants to go drive a dirt track or at a dirt track or run a sprint cup or sprint car, do something along those lines. I think he feels like this would, is kind of where he's at in life, and he doesn't need, there's probably a point in time in his life where he needed to drive, financial reasons, and he loved it. And I think he still loves the driving part of it. I think it's all the other stuff he's probably over and ready to move on from.
What would you think at the end of the race, when the checkered flag falls, how is Tony Stewart going to be remembered as a NASCAR driver?
A racer. I really think that's what you're going to see him remembered as, was a racer. He's probably one of the last of the drivers that we've seen come through that is the old style type of racer.
Old school is the word I had in mind.
He said earlier in the year that it wasn't fun anymore. And he's wanting to go do fun stuff, which ostensibly means dirt tracks, short tracks, outlaw sprints, sprints, stuff like that. That's stuff that he really enjoys. He still is a racer. And I think that's probably what he's going to want to be remembered as a racer.
I mean, you think, Scott, he's only 45 years old. I mean, there's the lifespan of a dirt track driver goes far beyond Sprint Cup.
Listen, I had a local short track that we went to a lot when I up in Michigan, and there was a guy, Joey Ferry, is the all-time winningest leader. You know, it won as many track championships as anybody. He drove into his 60s.
So, Red Farmer.
Yeah. So, I think that the driving part of it, he'll still have – I think they'll still be – you know, as long as he can stay healthy, they'll have those opportunities. Because I think he enjoys that, because it's just about racing. It's not about business and appearances and all the other stuff that kind of – you know, comes with being a NASCAR driver. An owner doesn't have the same responsibility. I mean, he's still going to be very heavily involved, very visible, very outspoken, and a very big influence in the NASCAR community. But if he wants to take a weekend off and go run somewhere, you know, he's going to have the ability to do that. And I think that's, at this point in his life, he's done enough of the other stuff. It's time for him to, you know, step away from being a full-time driver and make a commitment to doing some of the other stuff that he enjoys doing, and he's earned the right to do with the thing. What is he, five? How many time? Three-time champion. So, you know, he's done everything that you can do in the sport, and he's earned the right to kind of go out on his own terms. And this is, you know, how he's wanted to go out, kind of quiet and reserved, and just about racing.
And one other thing is, how many successful drivers have we seen come over from IndyCar to stock car and been successful? He's one of the very few.
Well, he didn't hit a jet fuel truck or whatever, a jet dryer at Daytona, that's for sure.
But we'll never forget it.
Yeah, I know. That's true.
He'll probably never forget it.
I wonder how much he will change as an owner. And then I wonder if he remains an owner, if he gets out of that too. That's one of the things that I think about, because I don't think him and Haas have a dynamic relationship or whatever that's really, really strong and stuff like that. I think before it's over with, my opinion, just a guess, that him and Junior will join forces and kind of own a team.
It'll be interesting. I mean, anything's possible. It'd be interesting to see. I was surprised, you know, he's always driven Chevrolets. I was surprised to see the move to Ford for the organization. Now, that could have been, you know, a part of that could have been very heavily financial in terms of what I'm sure it had a lot to do with it. So it'd be interesting to see. But I don't think he's in. You know, I think he started this organization from the ground up, and now he wants to spend and dedicate a little more time to kind of really taking it to its full potential. We know in the last few years who the top dog in that organization is, and that's Kevin Harvick. And now you're going to add Clint Bowyer into that mix next year, which is really going to give, you know, Bowyer's kind of a forgotten man because he's been riding around, you know, in the 30s all year long. Right. That's equipment based. When he gets back in some good equipment, it'll be interesting to see how quickly, and I'm sure we'll touch on this next week because it'll be one of the big stories going into 2017, how quickly that organization transfers from Chevy to Ford and how clean that is. And will it help kind of give it a little more balance and what's happening, you know, throughout the sport with the Toyotas and the Chevys and now these cluster of Ford cars that can kind of give a little more balance to the manufacturing side of the sport.
You know, if you look at the team overall with Stuart Haas Racing, though, adding Clint Bowyer, there's not that young driver there. I guess Danica could be your young driver or whatever, but you would think at some point in time you've got to start building for the future with some youth. Clint Bowyer is 37, 38-ish, maybe 39. I mean, he's 6 years behind Stuart, and you're putting him in the car where you're probably – he might be the second oldest driver there.
Yeah, but he's also bringing a sponsor with him, am I not correct, and 5-Hour Energy following him. So you got to remember that.
5-Hour Energy went with Eric Jones at Toyota with Furniture Row. Just announced a couple weeks ago, it's on the Jayski site, so that's going to be his sponsor the majority.
Well, who's the sponsor of that? Because
I think Peak Performance is going, and Maxwell House Coffee is going to be another one. There's a couple, but 5-Hour Energy is not listed on there.
Huh.
So should be kind of unique to see what he does bring, but he does bring experience. I mean, he was good at
that. Must have been in my show notes that I didn't that you sent over.
I don't know who prepared these show notes, but
they're pretty outstanding.
They are.
I don't know if I've ever seen show notes that are better.
I mean, the font is big. There's not any commentary. It's just basically topics, which is really nice.
You know, we just need topics for banter.
It is crazy. I think we probably need
word Arnold's going to throw out next.
We could throw out a big one. Do you want to go ahead and do our power rankings?
Let's go ahead and do that because we're going to have. with Alex being on here at 5:45, we're going to take a break here in a second. He'll probably run us right up to the end of the show tonight. So
it'll be good. I'll go ahead and go first. I've got the 48, Jimmy Johnson, number one. The 18 of Kyle Busch, number two. The 22 of Joey Logano, three. And Carl Edwards, four. Those four are in the championship hunt this weekend. And my fifth guy is one Eric Almirola in the 43 car.
Was it like a lottery? Did you put all the names in a hat and he just, the 43 car happened to be the one you pulled out?
There's a method behind my madness. I don't know if you read Arnold and my tweets back and forth last night.
No, I was doing everything I could to shut the phone off because I was trying to watch basketball and so, you guys are blowing up my phone.
So what my point was there is that the 43 car was the last, or not the last driver, but the driver that has... Richard Petty has seven championships. And then my pick to win will be the new Boom Confetti. Seven time is what we'll call him. 48, Jimmy Johnson's going to take it to the house. Oh, get this. He'll win the race and the championship.
Great pick. Arnold, you're up, buddy.
I took the 18 as my first place driver in the power rankings to Joey Logano at 23.
Wait a second, Arnold. We can't let the only dude that didn't win a race in the last round, and you're putting him on top of your power rankings.
Yep.
All right. I just wanted to double check that.
By the way, power ranking rules and regulations that we had earlier this year are out the door.
Yeah. Just double checking.
In second, I got Joey Logano in the 22. Third, I've got Jimmy Johnson in 48 because he didn't run all that well there after
saving
he got into trouble.
Stuff.
But anyway, the 19 of Carl Edwards is fourth. I got the 20 of Matt Kenseth in fifth. And I'm taking the four car to win this race.
What?
The four car
I'm
to win the
you
race.
Didn't say his name.
Who wins the championship?
The 48.
The 48. I'm going to assume that these are Jason's picks and that they are correct. And I don't know. We got all points bulleted out on the
hill. I don't know where he's at.
I don't know. Jason has the 48, 19, 22, 18, 11, and he's got the 48 winning this week at Homestead Miami Speedway.
That, he would
no, but that sounds that makes perfect sense.
I thought I saw him text it earlier.
I think that's in the text that he sent.
I went with the 48, the 22, and the 19. I went with the three winners in this round. Go figure, guys. Then the 18, and I stuck. I know there's a Kevin Harvick band going on right now, but I did stick Harvick in there, and I'm going to pick a little bit surprise of an upset. I'm going to take the 19 car, Carl Edwards. He gets redemption from 5 years ago at Homestead. After watching all that stuff, I don't know if you saw the throwback on Monday night, but Stewart's live tweeting it. As it's going on and talking about all the stuff that's going on, it was pretty.
And Carl Edwards actually gave Tony Stewart his helmet.
Right from that, yeah. So pretty interesting all that.
All right, we need to take a break. When we come back, Alex Hayden from MRN Pit Reporter will be on the phone with us. We'll be back in just a second. You're listening to The Finish Line on 101.3,
The Buzz.
Y'all step back to 1864 and relive the South's finest hour. Witness a moving performance and dig into the greatest Southern recipes direct from the Confederate White House. Loads of fun food and unfiltered Southern history. The Button Willow Civil War Dinner Theater is just minutes from Chattanooga. Y'all got a call for reservations, 658-7478. We're straightening out Yankees one at a time.
Hey folks, Dale from Dale's Heating Air. We all know things work better when they are maintained and serviced on a regular basis. Your car, your yard, even relationships. Well, your heating and air system is no different. When is the last time your heating and air conditioning was serviced? Can't remember? Well, spring is just around the corner and warm weather will be here soon. What's that mean for your heating and air conditioning system? It means it's time to call Dale's Heating and Air to make sure old man winter didn't take its toll. And your air conditioning is ready to keep your family cool and comfortable this season. When your heating and air conditioning is working at its best, you get the comfort you want, save money, and your system will last longer. Now is the best time to call Dale's Heating and Air to schedule maintenance on your heating and air conditioning system. For service you can trust, just call Dale's. 236-4600. That's 236-4600 or online at justcalldales.com.
Mike Rowe on the student organization known as Skills USA.
Well, everybody talks about high unemployment. It seems to me that the real problem is the skills gap. There are opportunities available, millions of them. Skills USA is on the front line. They're encouraging soft skills, specific skills. They're the connective tissue in between the opportunities that exist and the hopes that a lot of parents and kids have for their own future.
Learn more at microworks.com and skillsusa.org.
Skills USA, champions at work.
How would you like to win an all-expense-paid trip for four to Daytona International Speedway for Speed Weeks 2017? It's a Daytona 500 experience, and it can be yours courtesy of the Motor Racing Network. The package includes your very own fully stocked RV at Daytona International Speedway February 24th through the 27th, four tickets to the Camping World Truck Series, four tickets to the Xfinity Series, and four tickets to the Daytona 500. The package also includes admission to the Fan Zone, garage access, a guided tour of Daytona International Speedway, lunch with the MRN announcers, and a pace car ride around Daytona's 31 degrees of high banking. It could be yours. Just tune in to each race in the chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup on Talk 101.3 The Buzz. Listen for the driver in the lead of the Ford EcoBoost 400 at Homestead Miami Speedway at lap 225, then enter the driver's name at mymix1041.com. You can enter one time for each race in the chase, and one lucky winner will be announced on November 28th. It's a Daytona 500 experience, courtesy of the Motor Racing Network, Daytona International Speedway, Mix 1041, Talk 1013 The Buzz, and The Finish Line. Must be 21 to enter.
Welcome back to The Finish Line on 101.3 The Buzz. Jamie Kyle, Arnold Tarpley, Scott Webb. You know, we, from time to time, you think about your job and you think about what you do, and other than Scott Webb getting 12 weeks vacation, you know, for the whole year.
Wait a second, and this is coming from a banker.
I know, but 12 weeks of vacation, you know, throughout the year as a teacher. And then you look on Twitter and you see Alex Hayden down at this beach somewhere down in South Florida. And, you know, Alex, I you showed me a little too much chest hair. Keep it from the neck up on your pictures. There's a little uncomfortable seeing that on Twitter, and I can't really hit the like button. You know, I can't put myself to do that.
I'm appreciative of that, actually. Thank you. I appreciate you guys being flexible. It's obviously down here in Key Largo, it's cell services. Believe it or not, Winston Kelly from the Motor Racing Network, my colleague on Pit Road, we did something here. This is part of, and we're going to tweet this out. Winston took a picture. I'm actually on the phone with you guys right now, standing in the Gulf of Mexico, waiting deep in the Gulf of Mexico, doing this interview right now.
That's dedication.
That's the dedication. Listen, we appreciate.
Listen, you're a hardworking man.
I take back my chest hair comment now, Alex. I can say that.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. But you know what? It's for championship weekend. We elected to come down today as opposed to coming down tomorrow evening and just doing racing. You know, we've been on the road 36 weeks, so it's nice to come down and take a day or two and just do nothing for a couple of days.
It is, and I tell you what, Alex, a very exciting race this past Sunday. We've kind of broke it all down. You almost have to feel sorry for Matt Kenseth in a way, because it seems like last year he gets taken out, and then this year kind of the same thing, and really had a car to win and could be in.
I absolutely feel awful for him. I mean, that's heartbreaking. What a way to have your championship hopes go away after basically pulling away from the field, looking like it's going to finish under green. By no fault of Michael McDowell cutting the tire, he slammed the wall. They had to put the caution out, so that, there's no question about that. But, you know, in the restart, to me, it was just a hard racing incident. That's all it was, because when you look at every scenario, and what separates NASCAR from other sports is everybody still competes. You don't have people that are once they're eliminated, they don't race. They do. They race every single week. So you've got Alex Bowman trying to win in front of his hometown crowd, his first career Sprint Cup Series win, had a great car all day long, had the fastest car at the end. You can't fault him for going for the win. He's got every right to do that. You can't fault Kyle Busch for trying to pass him and pick up a spot, because obviously one position on the racetrack equals 1 point. Kyle was tied with Logano at that point. He had to have a position. So Kyle went low. Bowman went lower. They made contact. Matt Kenseth, he was the leader, thought he was clear, but by the time he got to turn one and the extra momentum that Bowman was carrying into the corner from the kick in the caboose from Kyle Busch, that propelled Bowman a little further up. So, I mean, it was just a bad racing incident for Matt Kenseth. It was spectacular for fans. It was spectacular to watch that. But yeah, it's a tough one for Kansas, no question.
Alex, I have a question. How difficult is working on pit road? That, you know, that race is just different than any other race during the year, just because it's who's running where, and you got to have a calculator to figure out what's going on. How different is it working that particular? I mean, the theater is unbelievable. I was tweeting this out during the race. It was just, it's unbelievable theater, because you not only are you watching this young kid running out front and having a great day, but you're doing math trying to figure out who's got to pass who and all sorts of stuff. How hard was it on you just being on pit road trying to keep up with all the craziness?
Well, it is difficult. It really is. But the key is knowing who is where as far as the points coming into the race. You got to know what the scenarios are for just about everybody still involved in the championship. And then what you do is you wait and see. I don't get caught up in where they're running point-wise until the last 70, 80 laps or so, maybe before the last pit stop, for the simple fact that it doesn't matter where they're running point-wise when they're lap 35. It just doesn't matter, because we have a whole race still to run. So once it gets down to it, I absolutely, you know who's left in the race. You know point-wise where they're running, and then it starts coming down to, okay, he's good. Well, they're tied. Then you got to look at the tiebreaker, because in the closing laps, Kyle Busch and Joey Logano were tied in points. So you have to go to the tiebreaker, which would go to the last race of the chase as their best finish. It went to Logano. So Kyle Busch needed that spot. He needed another point. And then as the closing laps are going, to make things even more complex, Kevin Harvick was closing in before the McDowell crash. Harvick was closing in on Logano and was trying to pass Logano. Kyle Busch didn't have to pass another car if Harvick would have passed Logano. I mean, so yeah, I'm confused just trying to explain it. But yeah, it's tough. It really is. But I'm bad enough at math and bad enough at just trying to tie my shoes that if I try to keep up with that for all 500 kilometers, 312 laps, there's no way I can do it.
Well, you missed a chance to plug your sponsor Nike there. You should have said, I'm bad at tying my Nike shoes. But yeah, it was kind of unique, and the final point on that is kind of unique that Kyle Busch was actually slowing down to back Joey Logano up into Kevin Harvick, which I thought was great. All right, so Alex, this is something that hasn't really been talked about a lot, and maybe it's because of him and the way he doesn't want a lot of fanfare, I don't think. But Tony Stewart's last race is this Sunday, and you hadn't heard much about it. There's even been a couple of, you know, comments of, I think we should honor Tony. But it really hasn't happened as much as Jeff Gordon's final year.
Well, and there's two reasons for that, and I agree with you, by the way. But there's two reasons on why that is. Number one, Tony isn't going to Homestead this weekend as one of the championship four like Jeff Gordon did last year. So Gordon had a chance to basically do the walk-off, win the championship. So in his last full-time race plus a chance to win the championship, yeah, he was going to be talked about an awful lot. The other reason I think that a lot of people aren't talking too terribly much about it is the fact that Tony and Jeff were different points in their careers. Last year, Jeff gave it everything he had. He wanted to be there. He loves, eats, drinks, breathes racing. He's still in racing. In NASCAR racing, that is, as a commentator with Fox Sports. Jeff, that was his life. Well, Tony Stewart's life is racing, but Tony's made no secret about it. He was just tired of NASCAR racing.
Right.
He wanted to just go run dirt track racing. So, you know, it was a little disenchanting to a lot of people in the sport that Tony just says, basically, I want to race, I just don't want to race with you guys. So that put a bitter taste in some folks' mouths. So I think that's part of it as well.
Well, Alex, we are talking with Alex Hayden from MRN Radio here on Talk 101.3 The Buzz, The Finish Line. Alex, obviously we've got the Final Four set. You know, we've all watched sports before, and you know, I do a sports show with our high school, and we talk to the football coach, and he says, you know, we can't make too many penalties, we can't have turnovers, we can't do this and that if we're going to win on Friday night. What do these four teams have to avoid or have to do to find a way to put themselves in position to win a championship this Sunday?
Well, here's the four scenarios. We'll start with Kyle Busch. Kyle won this championship a year ago. He knows what it takes to win the race and run it as well as you can possibly run. So Kyle gets it. Now, Jimmy Johnson, he's a six-time champion. but he's never had to go to Homestead Miami Speedway and race for a win. Jimmy, in his championship years with a different format of the chase, all he had to do was show up and run, 18th or 19th or better, and he's a champion. So he's never really had to race hard. So that's a factor that's going to come into play. Then you've got Carl Edwards. Just a few years ago, 2011, as a matter of fact, Tony Stewart's the guy. They tied in points at the checkered flag of the finale here at Homestead, and it went to a tiebreaker, which Tony had the tiebreaker at the time with how many wins you had in the chase was the first tiebreaker. If you remember, Tony went on a tear, won 5 of the 10 chase races that year. So Carl Edwards tied for the championship and lost because of a tiebreaker. So he has an idea. Then you've got, of course, Joey Logano, who runs well just about everywhere. 2 years ago, Joey Logano lost the championship in this format to Kevin Harvick. If you recall, he was leading the race on his way to not only winning the race, but winning the Sprint Cup. And then they had their last pit stop late in the race. They had the car fall off the jack because the jack broke. It was by no fault of anybody. It's just one of those things that happened. So Joey lost the race and the championship in this format. So you got three basically completely different types of scenarios amongst these four different drivers here. I don't know. I don't know how you handicap it. I don't know who has the advantage and who doesn't.
It's kind of crazy. And there's so many things that can happen, and that's what makes this so interesting coming down to the last race and really anybody's game. I can tell you I'm going to be glued to it. But I want to do this, Alex. I want to tell you thank you, thank you, thank you. You've been so generous with your time this whole year. And you're standing in the Gulf of Mexico right now.
Well, listen, wait a second. Now, it's out, he's in the Gulf of Mexico. First of all, I before we let him go, how'd you hit him in Phoenix? That's what I want to know.
I did not hit him in Phoenix.
Oh my goodness!
See how crazy
you're
that
my
is?
Hero, and you're not hitting golf balls in Phoenix.
Well, I have a very good reason. The November Phoenix race. A couple of us on the MRN crew, we have a long-standing tradition. The Thursday, we always fly in early Thursday morning to Phoenix, and there's a lake Saguaro, out in the middle of the desert, in the mountains, actually, of the desert. There's a small marina that rents pontoon boats, and every Thursday we fly in, and we go out just to simply get away from everything on that Thursday in November. So I don't even take my sticks out there in the November race. I do in the spring race, but in the November race, I do not.
Yeah,
do it.
You tweeted out a photo of that, didn't you? I'm pretty sure I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, I did. So that's a long-standing tradition with us, just to kind of sit back and reflect and get ready for chaos, because after the Phoenix race and all that goes on with that, you do the red-eye flight home. By the time I get home to my back to Eastern North Carolina, it's 11 a.m. Monday. I'm back on a plane early, literally at 5:30 on a Wednesday morning. So I get a day and a half after I sleep most of Monday away, basically a day and a quarter at home. So we take that Thursday, we relax out on the lake in Arizona that we found, and then obviously come right down here and take a couple of days too, because it's a celebration, not just for the drivers and the teams to win a championship, but for all of us in the sport. We get the opportunity to stop and kind of reflect on the season and all we've accomplished this year as well.
Yeah, it should be a great weekend. Championship races in all three series this weekend. It's going to be fun.
Looking forward to it. Great, great champions. And the Truck Series and the Xfinity Series, they have the exact same chase format. So we've got four drivers in each one of those series as well. That's going to be going for a championship. It's great fun.
It will be a great fun. Alex, I know you'll do a great job as always. Again, can't tell you how much we appreciate your time this year in doing that. And enjoy your time down there at Key Largo. Please just keep them from the neck up on the selfies, and we'll be good to go.
Yeah, you got it from here on out. You're not the first one.
Thanks, Alex. Enjoy your time, and thanks again for coming on.
Anytime. Thank you.
Thanks. That's Alex Hayden, pit reporter with MRN Radio. Always great to have him on, and kind of new when he's down there in Florida. I can only imagine he's standing in the knee-deep water in the Gulf of Mexico just to get signal to be able to talk to us, and that's
well, yeah, sure.
That means a lot to us.
Yeah, it does mean a lot to us.
All right, so you can actually, if you want to hear more, and we'll be making fun of some people probably on Friday morning at 7:15, tune in to 104.1. As Scott and
there's no doubt we'll be making fun of.
Yes,
Scott, a person in particular.
Scott and I will be getting up early. Of course, I get up early. I mean, the teacher and Scott does not.
Just remember who controls your mic here.
Exactly, that's true. So 7:15, come out to Hardy's on 25th Street. We'll be talking with Heartline and Bridget there doing the morning show. We're going to talk a little NASCAR. He's allowed us to do this, and he's going to be involved, which should greatly ruin the show.
That's scary.
Yeah, there's a wealth of knowledge coming there.
Yeah, I know. When his favorite driver is Cale Yarborough and Dick Trickle, not good. So, all right, thank you for listening today, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Make sure you listen Friday morning, 7:15, 104.1. You're listening to The Finish Line on 101.3.
The Buzz.